The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
It's time for Hog Sports Live from hogsports.com, a division of 24/7 Sports, presented by Crane Automotive. The Crane Team's got them. Visit them online at craneteam.com. And now with the latest breaking updates on Hog Sports, here's Trey Biddy.
What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with hogsports.com. Sorry about the technical difficulties. This is the problem. This is the second one I've gone through of these, and it's crap. So I don't even know. I can't see what brand it is, but if you come across something that looks like this, don't buy it. All right, plenty to talk about today. Obviously, we've got spring sports, a lot of championships coming up with track and baseball, softball, golf, a ton to talk about there. Recruiting, we're in a dead period right now, but that's about to be lifted. We have a quiet period, and we're going to be joined by Danny West here pretty early. We're going to switch things around because Danny's got a press conference at 12:55, so we're going to get him on early. We're going to be joined by Kevin Bohannon to talk about the baseball team and Connor Goodson to talk about basketball and what the decisions of Malik Thomas and Billy Richmond mean. Of course, Malik Thomas headed to the NBA, and Billy Richmond also headed to the NBA, but no, he's changed his mind. He's coming back to Arkansas. All that and more on today's episode of Fox Sports. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane Team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane Team. Visit craneteam.com.
Okay, we're joined by Danny West here. Just going to hop right into our segment with Danny. Danny joins us on the Ozarks Go hotline. For those of you looking for fast, reliable, consistent internet service, go to ozarksgo.net/hog, H-A-W-G, or call 479-684-4900, where you'll speak to somebody locally, because it's a local company. Available in Northwest Arkansas, parts of Oklahoma, and ever expanding. Danny, you're in Lawrence, Kansas. How's it going up there?
Man, it has rained off and on. And let me tell you, I just walked out of Allen Fieldhouse. I came out here to my truck because it was a lot quieter for the show. And a downpour came through until I got to the truck, and then it just stopped immediately, of course. So I saw John Neighbors. He went through the same thing. He was soaking wet earlier, and it's just been like that so far today. Hogs just wrapped up, or they're about to wrap up their 75-minute practice here at Hoagland Park, they're calling it. I call it Hoagland, but whatever. We'll figure that out this weekend. But just heard from the KU head coach, Trey, Dan Fitzgerald, solid name there. He was very complimentary of Dave Van Horn, and as he was last year in Fayetteville. You know, he's got connections to Matt Hobbs and Nate Thompson. So, yeah, he was just really complimentary. He did say they're going to start their ace tomorrow against 4-seed Northeastern. Sorry, I got a policeman here. And we'll see how that goes for them. But yeah, so far so good, man. We're going to hear from DVH and a couple of the guys here in about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, Danny, I wanted to switch you over to recruiting real quick. Arkansas had a decommitment just recently from George Van Sant, who's from Oregon and has an Oregon offer, right? I guess that's probably the reasoning.
Yeah, it came through, I want to say 3 weeks ago today, Trey. I think it was May 7th when that offer came through. But yeah, he's a freak show, man. And I, you know, I told our board yesterday, and I'm sure people will twist this and turn it into me saying losing this guy is a great thing. I'm not saying that. It sucks to lose him. But if there's a positive, it's that Arkansas went out and kind of discovered him, half the country away from him, got in on him early. I mean, offered and said, please get on a plane, come see us. And he did it.
Yeah.
And then 4 days later, he announced his commitment. So, you know, if there's any silver lining there, you got to kind of admit that that was a pretty impressive pull for, you know, as early as it was. But you're right, dude. As soon as that Oregon Ducks offer came in, he's a kid in Portland, Oregon. It's kind of apples and oranges at the moment in terms of football success over the last, you name the amount of years, Trey, but you get the point. He's going to stick at home. And, you know, that's just like having a kid from Buford, Georgia, getting an offer from, you know, the Bulldogs, or a kid from Birmingham, getting one from Alabama. You're just about not going to be able to overcome that. So that's where it's at. But, you know, they made quick work of it. Parker Keenan, obviously, I think Arkansas had pretty good intel that it may go that route with George. So they went and offered Parker Keenan over in Tennessee and immediately wrapped up an official visit for June 12th, I want to say. I don't have it in front of me. So he would be my next guess as the tight end for this year's class.
Yeah, Danny, I know you're sitting in your truck, but it is an important time coming up for recruiting with the quiet period starting on June 1st. And Arkansas's lined up a ton of recruits to come in for visits. What can we expect here in the next few days? And I know that also, like, you did some comparisons just with, like, the rankings of the guys coming in versus other SEC schools.
Yeah, didn't enjoy doing that one, buddy. I got to be honest. That was, it was sobering to find out that as of today, I think the number has jumped from four to five four-star visitors are expected in Fayetteville over the next four weekends. And that sounds good, you know, but then you look around the conference and you go, well, what's everybody else got going on? And the league average right now is 20, at least 24 stars. And we're not even counting fives yet, but at least 24s are expected on each SEC campus. And then you compare that to five at Arkansas. Now, granted, they may get a few more here and there, but we'll see. But man, it's just, it's what I've been telling people. I think they're doing a really good job of finding value. But at the same time, the star power is lacking. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, money is in the driver's seat of all things nowadays. But you think about 3-2-10s, 0-8 seasons in the last 8 years, that's not doing them any favors. Arguably the least splashy hire of the offseason in the SEC. I think that's caught up with them a little bit here and there. But I also think it's I hate to quote Chad Morris, but it's a little bit by design, Trey. I mean, they're not getting involved for a lot of guys simply because of the asking price. They would rather use those resources and go after more immediate help. And man, I can't say I really blame them on that front.
Yeah. Well, they're just going to have to hammer down, I guess, Danny, and figure this out. But no, you know, I don't have a huge problem with the strategy in recruiting. I think, you know, in recruiting, that 250-mile radius still matters. And Arkansas has always been, at a deficit when it comes to immediate talent surrounding them. I think you go after developmental guys, aside from guys that are in your home state, aside from guys that can come in and play immediately, like running backs or cornerbacks that often, you know, hit the field early. But when it comes to basically every other position, and you know, you'd invest in a quarterback, obviously, and they did, and hang Hendricks, you know, in the last class. But I don't see the point in like spending $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 on a four-star recruit who isn't going to help you for a couple of years. I still think when you look at the transfer portal, Danny, the whole country opens up to you, and you can get guys that are, you know, redshirt freshmen or sophomores or redshirt sophomores, guys who are still young and can be in your program for a number of years, like Lance Jackson was. Not Lance Jackson. Lance Jackson, am I saying his brother's name?
Oh, you Landon.
Yeah. Landon Jackson. You know, he was a transfer.
Yeah, you were. He does have a brother named Lance.
Yeah, he was a transfer, though, you know, and he was in Arkansas's program for a number of years. So, like, I think that's where you can find a lot of value and stuff. Hey, last thing, Danny. Like 10 more guys just joined. Summer school started on the 26th, so everybody should be on campus, right?
Yeah, everybody's in, and don't have the list right in front of me, but just kind of spitballing. Antonio Sandal Bascom, obviously the defensive lineman from here in Kansas. You got Jalen Allen, originally from North Little Rock. He was also a JUCO product. Those are really the two that jump out at you. Hatch, they did get one. Jathan Hatch.
Yeah,
he was here in the last month or so. I'd like to do a little more research on him, but it seems, again, like he may have fell through the cracks a little bit, and maybe they like him more than people have realized so far. But, yeah, good to get everybody on campus. It's that time of year, man. It's the time when I start to turn the page a little bit, and I start to forget some of these guys. Like, you know, it took me a minute to remember who the heck Landon Jackson was just 30 seconds ago. Hey, man, I flush him pretty quick now, dude.
There's 65 new names. New players, not to mention coaches and stuff. It's a lot to remember. All right, Danny, I know you got to get to that press conference. Appreciate you.
Yeah, we're going to go find out who Dave is throwing tomorrow, so I'll catch up with you.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you, bud.
All right, man. See you.
All right, everybody. That's Danny West. You can follow him at Danny West 247 on X and read all of his content at hogsports.com. So just to kind of go over the guys that have enrolled, Jalen Allen, Antonio Sandal Bascom, who he just mentioned. Now, those are both defensive linemen, which I think, you know, we've talked a lot about the quality and depth of the defensive line, and now you're adding these two guys who are a little bit older. I've seen Antonio Sandal Bascom in person. He's physically as good looking and a guy, you know, just walking up to you as anybody that they have on campus. Jathan Hatch, the late addition on the D-line. Daniel Green, who is a late addition on the offensive line out of Butler County Community College in Kansas, 6'6", 330. Of course, Hank Hendricks, the reclassification quarterback from Fayetteville. We all know about him. Jude Hall, the wide receiver who was originally committed to Memphis and is out of Greenville, South Carolina. Ben Mabinga out of Georgia, an offensive lineman. Hugh Smith, offensive lineman. Tucker Young, offensive lineman. And Caden Bramlage, another offensive lineman. So those are all the remaining 10 guys that were not enrolled yet, but are enrolled right now. Okay, again, apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm going to find another type of product here, but I'm limited on my screens and stuff because I had to reorganize everything. So sorry about the technical difficulties. Hey, you guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owners insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto owners insurance owns an AM Best rating A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Coverage you need, people you trust. Okay, want to go over a few things before we go to K-Bo here. Obviously, Billy Richmond originally was like, hey, I'm staying in the NBA draft. You know, that was reported by Rothstein. And then it's like, oh, well, hold on, pump the brakes. He's going back to Arkansas. Malik Thomas is remaining in the NBA draft. If you know from Connor Goodson talking recently, kind of felt like that. And we'll have Connor on here in a little bit. But kind of felt like that. There was an article from a report from Jeff Goodman that he asked 10 NBA execs. 9 said that Malik Thomas should stay in the draft. 1 said he should remain in college. 10, all 10 said Billy Richmond should go back to college. So that's where things are. Arkansas, to me, has 7 guys right now that can play. Still need a center, obviously. baseball, Arkansas is in Lawrence. Danny is about to attend that press conference. It starts at 12:55. But Arkansas faces Missouri State, which they went 1-1 against Missouri State. They face them at 5 p.m. on ESPN Plus. That's Friday, May 29th. And the Kansas Northeastern game is at noon on Friday. So that's the pod here. That's the regional. And then if Arkansas loses, then they play May 30th at noon. If they win, they play May 30th at 5 p.m. And we'll talk to Cabo here in a little bit about more about that. Division I men's golf. Arkansas is, let's see, this starts the Friday. The finals start Friday, May 29th. They run through Wednesday, June 3rd. This is at the Omni La Costa Resort and Spa in Carlsbad, California. Arkansas finished third in the Corvallis Regional with Oklahoma winning that. So Arkansas still has a championship opportunity ahead of them. The women's golf team finished third in the to advance to the semifinals and beat Oklahoma State 5-0 and then lost to USC. But that was their highest finish ever. Stanford won the national championship. And softball Women's World Series, Arkansas and Nebraska are at 8:30 p.m. On Thursday. That's tonight, and that's on ESPN2. So Arkansas and Nebraska, and then they will, if they win there, they'll face the winner between Alabama and UCLA. And that is at 6 o'clock on Saturday, May 30th. Okay. So track and field is going on right now. That started yesterday. So this is the West and the East. These are the regionals, the final regionals, I guess, for the national championship. So that's all going on right now. I'm not sure if that there's television for that, but the men's and women's run simultaneous for that stuff. So we also found out the kickoff times for the first three games. All the times suck. 3:15, brutal heat in September, unless, you know, there's overcast or something like that. But this is where, like, when they added the north end zone expansion and they put all that money into the luxury seating and the suites and all that stuff, that's where, like, this didn't make sense to me. What I would have done if I was athletic director is I would have put seats there. I would have enclosed it. I still would have put, you know, office buildings and stuff, but I would have actually probably redone the east stands, like enhance that those luxury boxes, maybe tried to add more. I'd probably, you know, I love those seats, but I would probably have booted us out of there, the media, and putting better seating in there because, you know, in the press area and stuff. That's what I would have done because the nicest seats that you have are also the ones that just get black. You just are staring in the sun all day. And you have this 3:15 game for no reason. This is on SEC Network at 3:15. There's no reason that game should be at 3:15 in September. And then you've got 9:15, the Utah game in Salt Lake City. It'll be, what, 8:15 there? I guess they're mountain time. So it'll be 8:15 there, but it's 9:15, you know, on Arkansas player time, and then they've got that quick turnaround. They play Georgia at 11 o'clock. So I just think that time slot sucks. 8:15 is so late, and 9:15 really for Arkansas people. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 3.5-4 hour game here. So that's super late, and then the quick turnaround and having to play Georgia at 11 o'clock, and it's your home game. So you open the you know, and it's ABC. It's not like it's a crappy network or something. You're going to get a good broadcast team. It's going to be well done, all this kind of stuff. If you're watching at home, it'll be great. If you are at the game, you know, you'd rather have, you know, a late kickoff so you can tailgate. If you're, you know, the coaches and the players, you'd rather have, you know, an evening crowd or something like that, you know, at least an afternoon crowd. So that's a little bit disappointing that, you know, with all three of those time slots. And Hunter Yurecek wrote a letter, which, you know, is going to fall on deaf ears, really. I mean, Greg Sankey mentioned something. It's like, it's disappointing, but they have autonomy when it comes to picking times. But they don't care about Arkansas. They don't care, you know. I'm extremely concerned and displeased about the recent release of kickoff times for our football program in consecutive weeks this September and the impact it will have on the well-being of our student-athletes. And nobody really cares. Nobody really cares. That's my part. He didn't say that. Nobody really cares. But, yeah, nobody – it's on formal letterhead. I mean, I he should, you know, say something, but it's like it's, nobody cares about that. So, okay, we covered the recruiting stuff. You'll have to go to Hog Sports. There's a, you know, Danny's got a lot of lists of some of the players that are coming in. We talked about that a little bit, but we're going to go to Kevin here now, I think. Yep. Sorry, everything got a little out of sorts with the technical difficulties we had. Yep, visit list and all that kind of stuff. Okay. All right, let's pop over to Kevin Bohannon. K-Bo, how's it going, man?
It's good. It's Super Bowl weekend for you college baseball.
You got your camera a little high. There you go. So, hey, K-Bo, obviously this is were you a little bit surprised that Arkansas didn't get the regional? I know we were talking earlier in the season like they needed to finish 5-1, and they didn't, but they made that run in the SEC tournament.
Yeah. I went on record saying they needed to make the final and win it. They needed to win the whole thing. That would have given – but it really wouldn't have mattered because they had the host pick by Saturday night, early Sunday morning. So I really don't think the outcome of the Georgia game would have mattered. They were going to be the 17 or 18 seed no matter what. So not too surprised.
Yeah. So how will this Missouri State team be different, I guess, from the two that they met during the regular season? They actually played them in separate, two games, but not back to back when they.
Yeah. First one was March 31st. The second one was April 21st. Lost 15-14 at Springfield and then won 12-4 at Fayetteville. That took an eighth inning. And that was really kind of when in the middle of all the madness of Arkansas can just own the eighth inning at any time. But Missouri State is really good at home. They were 21-3, and they weren't very good on the road. It's a very good hitting team. We know they're just going to see some different pitchers. They're going to start, which I'm assuming is going to be Jason Schaaf. Pitching staff is terrible. I mean, they have an ERA of 6. It's not very good. I mean, their strikeout to walk ratio is 2-1. They haven't struck out very many batters this year. Of course, Arkansas struck out a few times, but I think this offense is a lot better since the April 21st game. They've really matured in that time. So even without Cujillo Aloy, which that's going to hurt a little bit, but I think they've got some guys that can step up. You're going to see Ross Felder. You're going to see Max Knight. You're going to see Curry Sutherland, Owen Slater. A lot of those guys that maybe pitched an inning in those midweek games, you may see them multiple times or for multiple innings. But other than that, it's going to be the same lineup that you had to navigate through. But Arkansas is going to have their guns ready to go, whether it be Gabe Gackel, which I believe that's who's going to start. I think Danny will hear that here at 12:55 and when Coach Van Horn gets on the mic here in Lawrence, Kansas. So I think they're going to go Gabe Gackel first out of the gate.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question for you, but obviously you answered that. But Kansas and Northwestern, the other teams in the regional, what have you found out about those squads?
Yeah, so Kansas, this is basically the same team that came to Fayetteville last year and went 2-Q. Lost to Creighton in the first round, 11-4, and then got beat by whoever the 4 seed was. I forget. I've looked at so many teams this weekend. But they've got Cade Baldridge back. It's a heavy left-handed hitting squad, 102 home runs. Pitching staff is okay. They've got Dominic Vogel and Manning West, two of the better arms out of the Big 12. Manning West is really kind of their bullpen guy. Vogel's their ace. He's got 108 strikeouts, only 33 walks. He'll be a draft guy this year. But his ERA is 6.01. I mean, these guys are giving up a lot of runs. They don't score as well as Missouri State. Missouri State's averaging a little over 8 runs a game. Kansas is right there at that 7 mark. So, nothing really stands out. The biggest thing that stands out about this region is it's very even. I mean, Kansas got the host, but they got the second-best 2 seed in Arkansas, and they got the best 3 seed according to the RPI. I know, but I got to go by some type of measurement. I can go by the eye test all day long, but it doesn't matter. And then Northeastern obviously is the 88th-ranked team according to RPI, so that's one of the top 4 seeds. Northeastern leads the world in stolen bases. They got 210. Number one in the NCAA. Second place team is like 29 back. So they'll run. Kansas can't look past Northeastern. And one thing, ESPN did realize that, look, this has some sizzle to it, Arkansas, Missouri State. That game's going to be on ESPNU, so it'll be on national television Friday afternoon.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Okay, so the portal opens.
Yeah.
June used to be a quiet month.
Not anymore. I learned that hard way last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So June 1st is the opening of the portal. It runs 30 days, I guess, through June 30th. And what are the priority positions? Do we even know what the priority positions are right now?
All? I'm joking, of course. But, yeah, they're going to have to replace probably 7 or 8 starters in the lineup that is going to be rolled out this weekend. You're going to lose your All-American catcher. You're likely going to lose third base TJ Pompey, then they're going to lose Camden Kozel at short, Nolan Sousa at second. They've got to get a first baseman. But there have been some really big names hit the portal already. They're going to have to replace their outfield. Likely Christian Turner's going to be back, and you're going to have Brenton Clark back, who has lost to injury before the season. So maybe 1 or 2 outfielders. But Jake Souders is one of the top guys in the transfer portal. He's a top 51 prospect for next year. That's one that you really need to look at. And then there's been a couple of infielders. One of them is Dawson Bryce from Charlotte. Was first-team all-conference last year. Had some injuries this season, but he's played. He knows Arkansas very well. And then the name that everybody loves so far, Mercer shortstop Titan Kamaka. Bobby Wernis is already following him. We've already got some really good intel up at hogsports.com. If you go to a board, we've got multiple threads up. We've got an Arkansas baseball portal thread. That's for everybody to jump into for anything that you see. If I don't see it on social media, but I'm looking multiple times a day. And then we'll have a transfer live tracker. We've already had Holland, Tyler Holland, is in the transfer portal. He's the only Arkansas Razorback to announce so far. So, yeah, they're going to have to really get some middle infielders out of this one, a couple of outfielders, but they'll be heavily focused on the infield, and then I wouldn't be surprised if they go and nab a catcher as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, K-Bo, appreciate you.
All right. Should be a fun weekend.
A lot of coverage to look forward to from Kevin Bohannon in the coming days as Arkansas kicks off its attempt to make the, super regional. World Series. Yeah. All right. Appreciate you, bud.
All right. See you.
All right, everybody. That's Kevin Bohannon. Follow him at KBO Baseball Guru on X and read all of his content at hogsports.com. Blakeman's Fine Jewelry is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers and Arkansas. Continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is offered at various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you also know that you can shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Go check out our friends at Blakeman's Fine Jewelry. Okay. Next up, Connor Goodson. Connor is also joining us on the Ozarks Go hotline. Connor, how's it going? Were you surprised by the news yesterday?
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the 30-minute saga that was Billy Richmond. It kind of brought back memories of Alex Collins a little bit with the, you know, the whole the national letter of intent and then just how quickly things changed. I was definitely taken aback that Richmond, you know, and I heard a little bit of like scuttle that something was going on over the weekend, but I just didn't really buy into it or really take it seriously just because I'd heard from so many sources and even those close to the team that it's just like, I mean, Billy's going to be back. He's being told all this feedback that's like, hey, we think that coming back next year would really, really benefit you. So that's what we'd heard really since the beginning of this thing and even up till yesterday. So getting that first little bit confirmation that like, oh, no, he's actually staying in the draft. It was very, very kind of took me back a little bit. And
what do you think happened? What do you think happened?
I think that Billy deep down believes he's ready for the league. And I think that he kind of has a little bit of that confidence that Malik Thomas has into where he's like, hey, I think I can do this. And I don't think that he believes that he can really do as much or do much more to really improve that stock. And there's a little bit of, you know, truth in that is because you kind of know what Billy Richmond, what you're going to get with him. Like you're going to get defense, you're going to get hustle, you're going to get motor. Those things I think that he's already really mastered. But it's the offensive side of the ball that we continuously heard. We just need to see more confidence, a little bit better decision-making, a little bit tighter handle, things like that would really sell some of these NBA executives – They just need to see a little bit more of that. And even in the scrimmages at the combine, you just saw a little bit of hesitancy, not a ton of confidence when he let the jumper fly, especially from deep. So you'd hope that next year you'd see a little bit more of that. And I think that also with Billy, I've heard this from there's a little bit of concern just like watching what happened with Carter last year. Like he came back with a lot of feedback and what scouts wanted to see. It kind of changed how he played. And obviously last year, if Carter could have that back, he'd probably change a lot and change how he approached that season for sure. And it didn't really work out. So I think that there was a little bit of that as well with Billy. As far as kind of the timeline of how things went, I know that John Calipari expected Billy to be back, and he would have approached this offseason completely different if Billy was realistically going to leave. And so I think that once that finally came out, I don't question John Rothstein's reporting on that at all. But I think that he maybe got the go ahead and things were changing things had changed at the last minute, that he wasn't privy to. And so it caused the agent to kind of come out and be like, hey, never mind this change. And as I reported on hogsports.com, there was a phone call, that took place that I know that of, some staff members and talking to Billy and his representation that, voicing their shock and like, hey, this isn't what we were talked about. This isn't what we thought was going to happen. And so, it all moved really, really fast after that initial report. But I think that's probably what happened right there.
So Arkansas obviously have added Maper Maker, who's like map maker. but he's more of a developmental guy.
Yeah.
They've got Seeley back. I don't know if Seeley is going to like make this big leap forward to where he's in the rotation or not. But if he's not, then we're really looking at about seven guys right now on this team that are, you know, regular rotational starters and stuff. The big question out there, and I get asked pretty much every day by somebody, are they going to get a five? I'm sure you've been asked a lot as well. Like, we know the kid from Florida is still, I guess, waiting on a waiver. He's seems like a likely candidate. But there were also, you know, three or four other likely candidates throughout this process that went elsewhere. And this is a position where people are paying big bucks. And so where do things stand? Does Malik Thomas going to the NBA, does that open up some more money? Like, where do you think things stand right now in terms of getting a big? Because they got to have one.
Yeah, no, I think that Malik Thomas staying in the draft, I think does – they had some money earmarked for him, obviously, and they had – they'd kind of laid that out and expected to pay him a certain amount. So you do have that now that you can reallocate. And from everything that I've been told, talking with people close to the situation, talking with national people, even NBA scouts and executives that have interest in how these rosters are playing out – I've been told that they're going to still look for, they're still going to add a big and they're still looking, actively looking and talking to people. Calipari, we'd seen some comments from him, I think at the SEC meetings that took place yesterday. There's some quotes flying around that he was he's really happy with how the roster is right now. And he likes where he is and he's ready to get to practice with his guys and see what they have. And he was playing a little bit of coy with some people. He's just like, we may add one more guy. We may add a guard. We may add a big man. We'll see what these decisions tomorrow we'll see how that plays out. Everything I've been told, they're going to add one more guy and it's going to be a big, and I wouldn't expect another position or I would expect them to add more guys. Obviously you got to fill out all 15 spots with walk-ons and stuff like that. But as far as rotational players, they're going to add one more and it's going to be a big. As much as I've heard that they like Cooper Bowser and how much Calipari himself likes Cooper Bowser, they don't really want to go into the season with him as really the only option right now as your big five man. So I've been told that they're still waiting on seeing how some of this thing plays out. You've still got the 5-5 talk and discussion. That's got to get voted on. And that could definitely affect people as far as your pool of available guys. Like, is Micah Hanlockton going to be the option? Is he the target? You can't put all your eggs in that basket. They're also talking to some guys like a Caleb Urigao, who is a possible reclass candidate from 2027 class. He was a big man that they've been kind of talking in and checking in on him and seeing if maybe he'd be willing to. So those are some options. You've got really three routes you can go. Hanlogden, Ewan, those kind of guys that are waiting on waivers. You can go international, which is a whole different set of targets and a very wide open target pool, or you can get a reclass guy. And so they're actively going through those options, but I definitely expect them to add a big to finalize this thing.
All right, Connor. Appreciate you, bud.
All right. Thanks, Trey.
All right, everybody. That's Connor Goodson with the latest from Razorback basketball, his thoughts on Billy Richmond, Malik Thomas, and really the Arkansas basketball roster, everything going on there. Hey, Bet Saracen, Arkansas's number one sports betting app, the only one in Arkansas. If you sign up right now at Bet Saracen and you put $25 down on your first bet and you use the promo code BIDDY250, capital B, IDDY, lowercase IDDY, 250 altogether, then you can get $250 back in bonus bucks to bet on Bet Saracen. So a pretty sweet deal. That's not offered through the regular. They were offering it just like when you sign up, but now you got to use my promo code BIDDY250, and you can get $250 back from Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen is Arkansas's number one sports betting app.
Sounds like those big out-of-state sports betting apps finally found Arkansas.
So now Bet Saracen is the only true local sports app and still Arkansas's fan fave.
Bet Saracen was made by Arkansans for Arkansans.
Just look at Fayetteville, where Saracen Casino, they're partnered with Hogs football, basketball, and baseball.
And Bet Saracen is also the official sports app for the ASU Red Wolves, UA Little Rock Trojans, and many others.
So bet with Arkansans. Bet Saracen.
Okay, so we're going to go over to questions now on the Razor's Edge Premium Forum. First question is from Raw Hog. Says, what are your thoughts on the Save College Sports Act? Any chance of it passing? I mean, I think that there is. It's a bipartisan deal. Now, I'm not a huge fan of government getting involved in, well, most things. And I think it's unfortunate that government has to get involved to basically save college sports, because I do feel like this is needed. Like with the NFL and NBA, like those are professional sports league. There's commissioner, there's rules. Like you don't have to come, you know, you don't have to participate, all this kind of stuff. There's salary caps, in that. And in college, there isn't any of that. It's just free and wild. And, you know, if you don't like one of the rules that the NCAA sets forth, then you just sue them. And you win, usually, you know. So I am actually for this. I think that it would benefit Arkansas. I think it would benefit college sports overall. So basically what it's aiming to do is to restore order and the competitive balance in college sports. Not that that was ever really a thing. I mean, you had people paying players under the table and all that kind of stuff. And of course, through recruiting, you had, teams that have access to elite talent in their backyard and teams that don't, like Arkansas has been. The NIL landscape to me is a better model for Arkansas because you know, your recruiting opens up coast to coast instead of just that radius. They want to prevent, from turning basically fully professionalized. They want to protect, non-revenue sports, Olympic sports, women's sports, which I think is important also, and give the NCAA limited antitrust protection to enforce their rules, which they have got to have. I mean, I don't see any other way around that if we want to have, college sports being what college sports should be. And, the NIL, like there's one of the main things that's being talked about is putting a cap on the amount of NIL money and, rev share money that, that can be spent or a player can get, I guess, in some capacity. I'm not sure exactly, but I never want to see somebody be told in this country, this is how much money you can make. I never want to see that. I don't think that is what this is. In the NFL, again, you have salary caps. You have it in baseball. You have it in basketball. You have salary caps. You're in a league. Like, these are our rules. The courts have stood behind, the NBA or the NFL, especially when they say, no, this is our rule when you can enter the NFL from college. They've already, like, they backed them on that. So That is the difference to me, that it is a league. And NIL, like, let's not mistake this. This is not a soft drink company saying, hey, we really think you can sell soft drink for us. We don't care where you go to school. We just think you're a big name, a star. We love your personality. We think you'll sell a lot of soft drinks for us, and we want to sign you. That's not what college NIL is. It's yes, in some cases it is. In some cases, the EA Sports College Football video game is true name, image, likeness. When you see the Boozer twins doing, you know, phone commercials for Samsung or whoever they're doing it for, you know, that's actual NIL. That's actual, you know, we think you're a big personality. We think you can, you know, sell some phones during NCAA tournament time. That's legit. Bringing a recruit in, or somebody from, you know, some other school, and saying, you know, this is what we can offer you in NIL, and then we're going to figure out the deals that you get later. You know, you just have to come to our school. That's pay for play. You can call it NIL, but it's pay for play. And in that sense, yes, I can agree with, you know, that aspect of it being limited. The other side of NIL, I don't feel like that should be. It's just, how do you differentiate it? You know, I don't feel like you should be able to tell somebody that this sports drink company can only pay you so much. That's not America. But having a league where there are salary caps and stuff, that is. That's I'm fine with that. I hate that you have to go through the government to do it, but I just don't see any other way. I mean, it's just kind of spiraling completely out of control. Chad Razorback says, what's your favorite finger food to have at a tailgate or watch party? Well, I mean, I always like chips and dip, cheese dip, salsa, chips and dip are up there. I like some praline pecans. I like some Crunch and Munch. I like popcorn. What's my favorite finger food? I like a lot of finger foods, I guess. I even like you know, some vegetable dip and some carrots and some celery and stuff. I'll even eat that.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Some of the best lessons don't come from a classroom. They come from experience. On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from CEOs, investors, and founders about how they built careers, took risks, and reinvented themselves. If you're starting your own journey, this is the kind of advice you won't want to miss. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
But I don't do a lot of tailgating, you know. I don't do a lot of watch parties either. Is pizza a finger food? Is it true? Oh my gosh, I can't read that. Willie B. Hardigan. You almost got me, almost read it. All right, let's see if we've got any comments over here. Maybe Ozarks Go. Ozarks No will work this time. It's not Ozarks Go. It is this piece of crap dongle. It's the last, and when I get done with the show, I'm going to go order a better one. So right now I've got things reworked. You know, Mac, I'm using a Mac, and it doesn't have, like, you have to have dongles for some of the outlets and stuff, but it's not Ozarks Go. If it were the internet service, the show would have just, like, gone off air, but it didn't. All you saw was just like a blank screen, but we were still online and running. It's not Ozarks Go. It's this piece of crap, which is, again, this is the first one I had lasted a couple years, and then it just crapped out. This one is in months, and it stopped working. So very disappointing. And I thought it may be the port, but it's not, because I've got this other little thing in there and it seems to be working perfectly fine. So it's not that. I ran into Silverfield started behind the eight ball. Yeah, he did. He's got some work to make. I mean, like, guys, like, Arkansas football is headed in the right direction in terms of the things that they're doing, getting more money behind it, but they've got a long way to go still when you compare them to, like, some of the other upper echelon teams in the conference. And those teams have been doing it for a while. Arkansas has, like, finally got things in order, like, you know, having more assistant coach, having a front office with a football GM and, you know, the personnel department, all that kind of stuff, having more funds for football so they don't have to ride in a plane with a place to put your cigarette out. Like, guys, I don't know if you know this, but, like, they're flying – the football team has been flying in planes that have ashtrays in them. Like, a Division I SEC football team has been doing that. So there are all kinds of things, like, where, you know, finances have gotten better, NIL has gotten better, and, of course, revenue sharing has been a nice boost for them. But they still have a lot of work to do. I ran into Silverfield. It was right after the All-In – roadshow deal that he was doing, the last one in Texas. And I ran into him at Ruth's Chris, him and his wife, Jordan Wright and his wife. And we were going to the concert, the Black Crowes and Whiskey Myers concert. And I ran into him and my buddies, you know, start wearing him out a little bit about, you know, how's the team look, all this kind of stuff. And he started talking and I was like, Coach, you sound like you're giving a speech that you've said several times right now. Like, you don't have to do all that. It was good to see him, you know, out a little bit, because I know that he's been hitting the circuits. It kind of reminds me a little bit, you know, Houston Nutt did that. He wanted to go to all the Razorback clubs and stuff like that. It kind of reminds me of that approach, you know, just making sure they get the message out there. But yes, he started behind the eight ball. Goodman said the plan was always for Billy to come back. It was a mistake by Rothstein, apparently. Okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense if it was a mistake by Rothstein. That was a confusing moment. It felt like, as a buddy of mine said, like, so we've got the only guy in the country with a second round grade that's not coming back. Billy Richmond is going to be one player that we have that ends up being an NBA all-star once he practices every day and his jumper. You know, I don't know that he'll ever, you know, he's improved. Like, he shot lights out during the combine. Like, not during, you know, during the scrimmage stuff, but, like, when they were doing the drills and stuff. Like, he shot in one of the drills, he shot better than Malik Thomas did. And had, I think, maybe, like, finished second. I think it was, like, spot up threes or something like that. Maybe it was the star. I can't remember. But he did well in the testing stuff. But where Billy will have an NBA career, a long NBA career, I believe, is because of his athletic ability and his hustle, his motor. Like, you need guys like that. Like, everybody's not going to be a superstar. You have to have guys that fill a certain role in a lot of ways in the NBA, and Billy can absolutely do that. Epic Posa says, can we put – in the Congress bill as far as SEC teams cheating trade. Yeah. I mean, teams will start just going under the table again. I mean, it's kind of comical now how everybody's like, well, we can't get in trouble anymore. Yeah, I got paid. You know, you hear Johnny Manziel talking about it. Ed Orgeron was talking about it. All right. Wyatt Peter says, what does the word dongle remind you of? I mean, it sounds like a sexual term. I'm not going to lie. Like, dongle sounds kind of dirty, doesn't it? Lack of a better word. Wyatt Peter says, well, celebrating smoking cigars after a big win is typical. So ashtrays in the team private plane makes sense. You can't smoke on a plane, though. I guess you can't. Can you smoke on a private jet? I don't know. Got to start winning some championships first. He's kind of like Pat Bev. That's from, yeah. So Pat Beverly was a three-point ace at Arkansas. I never thought of him like, this guy's a lockdown defender, and he went overseas and, you know, found a niche and made an NBA career out of it. And an NBA career where, like, everybody knows who Patrick Beverly is, you know. Arthur says, so now that Arkansas finals – what? I'm not sure what you're saying. I can't really make sense of that. Sorry. Corey Chandler says, regardless of his shooting ability, Billy's energy, experience. Yeah. I mean, the NBA scouts are going to love the same thing about Billy Richmond that we all love about him. Okay. All right, everybody. Appreciate you hopping on the show. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I mean, it's very frustrating. That's the second time that's happened. Last time it happened in the middle of the show. This time it happened right on the intro of it. And so I ended up just having to basically reboot it and start it over. But I could show you what I'm using now. It's just a cheap thing that won't work for everything. Like, so I've got to use multiple ports and stuff. And I'm a little limited on all my stuff. So we'll get it figured out. We'll have you back for the show on Monday. And hopefully it'll be a lot more smooth. All right. Appreciate Kevin Bohannon for hopping on, Danny West, of course, and Connor Goodson as well. And appreciate all your questions and appreciate your patience as well. And, of course, our sponsors. This has been Trey Biddy with Hogsports.com, and we'll catch you next time. Oh,